That's not supposed to happen.
No.
Some of them big guys have blowouts.
Nah, they just.
What happened?
Yeah, there were a few wrecks and all that kind of stuff. And this kid you never heard of, 20 years old barely.
Okay.
He wins it all. You know.
All right. See how that works.
Yeah.
So, lots of stuff going on there in just our own state, Texas state capitol.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, by the way, Dr. Bowen Lofton will be with us at a little after 8. I guess one of the things we can ask him about is that gun law, huh?
Yeah, that would be very interesting to get his take on that.
Yeah. I mean, you got to do what the legislature says, but you know, you got 46,000 youngins over there, all sorts of different kinds. It's a be interesting. We'll see what he has to say about that. And as you say, it's Utah seems to be the driving force in this right now. But Utah's one up on us, I'm just telling you.
They done passed it.
Nah, well, more than that.
Oh, really?
A Browning M1911 semi-automatic pistol, it's 45 caliber, may soon become the official state gun of Utah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, wow.
Do we not have a state gun in Texas?
I don't believe we do.
We don't.
No, don't think so. Believe that.
Golly.
Believe
we got it. A flower.
Got a flower, got a rock.
Got a rock?
Yeah.
No gun, no state.
Got
gun.
A hard place?
Got a bird. Got a
heard
shell.
Thank you,
yeah,
thank you.
The Lightning Whelk, of course, is the official shell of Texas.
Well, duh.
Didn't know that, did you? No. Didn't know that. Hello? Hey. Wait. Hello?
Morning, Scott.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, I was just wondering, didn't they say you would already have to have a concealed handgun permit to do all that?
Yeah, to be able to carry a gun on campus?
Yes.
Right, exactly. Yep, they did. Yeah, yep. Got to do that. Got to do that anyway.
Yeah, you've got to have a CHL. I mean, that's...
Yeah. But anyway...
Because the thing is, you've got to have a CHL to pretty much be able to do, you know, go anywhere with a firearm other than be in your home or be in a vehicle, your vehicle.
So, got this gun thing. This is a quote. This firearm was created by John Moses Browning, who was the son of Utah pioneers, says Carl Weimer of Harriman, Utah, during the debate on the House floor. This firearm really has defended liberty and freedom around the country and around the world, and I think this is a very appropriate designation to capture a portion of state history.
Uh-huh.
So there you go. Got that happening. See how that goes. I'm sure that'll kick up a little fuss if it happens. And they'll vote on it, I think, this week. So see how that goes. See what else. Oh, so, of course, I guess they do this every year. They release the results on President's Day, the latest edition of the yearly poll from the Gallup folks about the greatest ever president. Ronald Reagan is named as America's greatest ever president.
Really?
Yeah. 19% support. And Abe Lincoln comes in second. God, where's Thomas Jefferson?
Right.
My goodness.
George Washington?
George Washington.
Yeah. Yeah.
And later
James
on.
James K. Polk?
Where well, no, I don't know about
yeah.
that.
Millard Fillmore? William Henry Harrison. I mean, the guy.
Yeah, almost, come on.
The guy died so soon.
You talk about died. So productive for the time that he was in. He had a productive cough from day one. Yeah. But, I mean, and later, Teddy Roosevelt, I mean, they're people who have marked this country and things that they've done in office. Then on the negative side, there's Lyndon Johnson, but still. Yeah, Ronald Reagan, number one. Abe Lincoln, number two. Followed by Bill Clinton. Oh. See, and that's the problem, is they've stopped somebody in the Walmart parking lot, and they've asked them, who's the greatest president? And they say, I don't know, can you name some? I don't know. Give me a list. Let me look. Oh, yeah, I've heard of him. Oh, yeah, him too. Yeah. Where's that woman who was elected president? Where is she on this list?
Yeah.
It's scary. It's scary.
Yeah. Martin Sheen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Bill Pullman, an independent
thing. That's right. He was really good. Oh, anyway. All right. So in the wee hours of Saturday morning, the House voted along party lines pretty much to okay a spending bill for the current fiscal year that includes $60 billion worth of spending cuts. But President Barack Hussein Obama and the rank-and-file Democrats have warned that those cuts could derail any ongoing economic recovery that we've got going here. This is pretty much your freshman class speaking up. you know, some Tea Partiers in there. And now we're talking again with the chat about government shutdown, you know. 1995 or so, something like that, when that happened. Here's the deal, is the Senate is out of session all this week, which means that they're only going to have a few days to look at this thing. As we talked to Bill Flores last week, he reminded us that March the 4th is when this thing has got to be done. And if the Senate is not here, then they don't go back into session until the 28th, next Monday, and then they've only got a few days to get this thing done. And if they don't, then supposedly the government will shut down. Now, that didn't work out very well for the Republicans last time that happened, but, you know, it's a different country. It's a different time. And I don't know what would be shut down necessarily. Obviously, they're going to say that all the essential people are going to have to be there, but we got to decide who essential is, and everybody else would be sent home. So can we actually operate without that? Which is an interesting thing to bring up at this point, and that is that, did you know that Belgium doesn't have a government?
Really?
Belgium is 249 days into not having a government.
Oh. And they're still there, huh?
Yeah, they are still existing. Protesters in Belgium stripped to their underwear on Saturday to celebrate 249 days without a government.
It's getting better and better. Well, yeah. I don't know. Depends on which Belgians we're talking about.
Who were those Belgians?
Yeah.
If they were the chocolate testers, probably not.
No. But if it's the...
Anyway.
If it's the Miss Belgium losers, you know, well, we'll see.
A state of virtual anarchy has existed in Belgium since the prime minister resigned last June. Since then, the government's, the parliament, basically, has been unable to agree on any kind of a coalition of a government to run the thing. So... everybody else, yeah, hey, just do what you need to do, okay? Take care of it. Take your own garbage out. Let's go.
Huh.
Yeah. Need a cop? Here's a Glock, you know. In Belgium,
whoa,
that is not true. In Belgium, that is not true. They very, 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 very strong anti-gun laws.
Do it yourself.
Yeah.
No, they don't do that much.
I think our government should shut down right about April the 15th.
You think?
Yeah. Because then there's nobody to mail it to, you know, right?
Well, no, now this year, don't we get some extra days or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
All right, so Chris Christie says, I'm not running. I'm going to go ahead and form a federal political action committee. Not running, yeah. See how that goes. So he's thinking about the White House run. Maybe.
Uh-huh.
Maybe. The deal is that, you know, you get a chance to gather up some money, maybe. Then when you're ready to go over to Iowa and run, you've got this political group together to do that for you.
Yeah.
All right, let's see.
And Donald Trump is really thinking about running.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he told Piers Morgan the other night.
You know what he's realized? He realized how much FaceTime Obama gets on TV.
Yeah, that's right.
He's going for that.
He can't stand it anymore.
Yeah. He says, I can't have somebody on TV more than I am, so let's go. See how that he can fire a bunch of people. Hello.
Yeah, I think the government in Belgium is just waffling.
I heard what you
said. I was waiting on that, actually.
Yeah.
I was really surprised. No, you know,
we should have come up with that.
I thought of some way, how can we work waffle into this?
Yeah. But that's right. One of us can use it in a year, and we'll forget that guy ever called.
Yeah, we'll take credit for it.
Anyway,
of course, all the eyes are on Wisconsin. And what's going on up there between the union and the governor? And, you know, we talked about how the 14 senators ran off so that they can't get a quorum to get anything done. And it's a very complicated situation, because the question is not, we had reported last week, and it was wrong, the concessions of 1.5% of their benefits. That's not the sticking point. The sticking point is the whole collective bargaining deal. They would not be able to collective bargain. And the new governor is Scott Walker, and he's a Republican, and he's just said, you know, we got to put a stop to this. It has to be done. So now we've got recalls. Well, we haven't heard that anyplace, have we? They want to recall the governor. They want to recall lawmakers, both Republican and Democrat, over this. But the other problem is that a lot of people who aren't from Wisconsin have gone to Wisconsin.
Surprise,
hold up their signs and all that. And yesterday, for his part, Scott Walker said that the people from Wisconsin should be able to express their views. But he basically was saying, we don't need the rest of you folks in here. Just don't. But, you know, that's they're going to glom onto this effort.
Well, we'll see what happens. We've learned through the years there's no shortage of ne'er-do-wells who have nothing better to do than to pile onto a bus and go be another part of a bunch of sniveling, snot-nosed whiners and complainers.
Jesse
Who have, you know, cush jobs. And let's face it, you've got a cush job.
Yep.
So now you're complaining about not having collective bargaining. Welcome to the real world, my friend. The vast majority of the people who inhabit this world with you don't have collective bargaining.
Yeah.
You know what? I tell you what, let's the three of us go in and protest in Ben's office today for higher wages and better benefits after the show. I guarantee you there will be a syndicated program on tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or one of us will cave.
Yeah, that's yeah. right. Yeah.
Our benefit will be we'll get to take the elevator down.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
that will be the world's shortest collective bargaining meeting.
And these people don't get it. I mean, they suddenly feel like they're
being... Well, you don't get it when you don't deal in reality.
Mm-hmm. That's true. The we have to understand this world has changed, and you can go all the way back to the last incarnation or two incarnations ago of General Motors when they said, this is unsustainable. We cannot give you the benefits as a union that you have wanted. And, you know, the union wouldn't cave, and they wouldn't cave, and they wouldn't cave. And, you know, all of a sudden, here's GM out of business. Had to be rallied up by the federal government to stay in business. But unions have got to understand. And we've got pension programs, as we've talked about, in so many states that are already bankrupting. Those states are in trouble, and now they've got that pension allocation they've got down the road that once again are putting their kids on the state level in the poorhouse.
Yeah.
And the governor and the governor has taken a stand in Wisconsin, and the union leaders stand there with their arms crossed going, we're not going to give in. We're not going to give in. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, at least Social Security. Oh
yeah. got that working out for you just fine. Anyway, so
poor Chase.
Yeah.
You people suck.
Yeah, thanks.